It is certain, at least, that the prayers of the churches freed Peter from his chains and gave voice to Paul. Their voice significantly empowers those who strive for spiritual leadership. This is why both the one who is about to ordain requests their prayers at that time, and they express their agreement and approval with known acclamations. For it's not appropriate to reveal everything in front of those not yet initiated. But there are times when there's no difference at all between the priest and his congregation. For instance, when we partake of the holy mysteries, we are all equally deemed worthy of the same things, not as in the Old Testament where the priest ate different things from those under him, and the people weren't allowed to partake of what the priest ate. But now, one body and one cup are presented to all. And in prayers, too, one can see the people contributing significantly. For those possessed and those under penance, the prayers are made collectively by both the priest and them. And all say one prayer, a prayer full of compassion. Again, when we exclude from the consecrated area those who can't partake of the holy table, another prayer must be offered, and we all similarly fall to the ground and all rise up together. Again, in the most sacred mysteries themselves, the priest prays for the people and the people also pray for the priest, for the words, with your spirit, mean nothing else. The act of thanksgiving is again shared. The priest doesn't give thanks alone, but also all the people. First, he hears their voices, and when they agree that it's fitting and appropriate to do so, then he begins the thanksgiving. Then, why are you surprised that the people say something with the priest, when they actually join the cherubim and the heavenly powers in offering up those sacred hymns? I've said all this so that the laity can be cautious, that we understand that we're all one body, having such differences amongst ourselves as between members and members, and we don't place the entire responsibility on priests, but we also care for the whole church as if for a communal body. This approach ensures greater security for us and greater spiritual growth for you. The apostles often let the laity partake in their decisions. For example, when they ordained the seven, they first consulted with the people. And when Peter ordained Matthias, it was done in the presence of all, including men and women. There is no tyranny in ruling here, nor is there servility in being ruled, but rather spiritual leadership, primarily in taking on a greater part of labor and responsibility on your behalf, and not in seeking greater honors. The church should live as one house, as one body it should be organized, considering there is one baptism, one table, one fountain, one creation, and one Father. Yet, why are we divided when so many important things unite us? Why are we being torn apart? We find ourselves having to lament the same things again, which I've often mourned upon. Our current state deserves lamentation, as we are greatly separated from each other when we should, in reality, reflect the unity of one body. In this way, the one who is superior can learn something from the one who is inferior. If Moses could learn something useful from his father-in-law, which he hadn't understood, much more can this occur in the church. And how was it that what the non-believer understood, the spiritual person did not? This was to ensure that everyone then understood Moses was a man. And although he parted the sea, although he split the rock, he still needed the influence of God, and those acts weren't of human nature, but of God's power. So let someone else stand up and speak. So now, if one person doesn't say something useful, let another stand up and speak. Though he might be inferior, yet if he says something appropriate, support his opinion. And even if he's the least significant, don't disrespect him. For no one of these people is as far removed from their neighbor as Moses' father-in-law was from Moses. Yet Moses didn't disdain to listen to him, but even acknowledged his opinion, was persuaded by it, and documented it, and he wasn't ashamed to pass down the event to history, thus humbling the pride of many. For this reason, he left this story to the world as if engraved on a pillar because he knew it would benefit many. So, let us not be oblivious to those who offer useful advice, even though they may be perceived as lesser, nor insist that the advice we offered prevails. But let the best opinion be accepted by all, even if it wasn't introduced by us. For it's a major achievement for us, even if we didn't identify what's required, if we accepted what was suggested by others. And God will reward us abundantly, and will successfully achieve glory. For as wise as the person who speaks useful things may be, we who accept it will also receive the praise of wisdom and honesty. So if both houses and states and even the church are governed in this manner, she will experience greater growth. And so too will we, having well organized our present lives, receive the good things to come, which we all may attain through the grace of and love for mankind of our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.